Good morning. Welcome. I encourage you to open your Bible, whether you have it in digital form or in printed form, and turn with me to Psalm 139. We're going to look at that Psalm in this series that we've been looking at, Trusting God. Just some messages from the book of Psalms. And this message I called, When You're Going Nowhere. Mr. Holland's Opus is a film which follows 30 years of a man's life as he raises a family and teaches high school music. But he goes beyond instructing his students. He pours his life into them. As the story unfolds, we discover that he took the teaching job because he couldn't make a living writing and performing his own music. So his dream of composing a symphony was put on the back burner for more pressing matters. But it was always there, just beneath the surface, waiting, hoping. Then came the day when the music program at the high school was axed because of financial cutbacks. As he struggled with being put aside by the school board after so many years, Mr. Holland is left questioning whether his life has mattered. He put his dream on hold to take up the daily goal of trying to impact the lives of teenagers through music. Now that too was gone. Do you ever feel that way? Maybe when it's quiet and everyone else is in bed? When you're driving and you don't have to pay much attention? Do you start thinking about where your life is headed? What you've done or haven't done? Do you ever stop and think about your life and come up short? Maybe sometimes you just feel like a mouse in a cage, just turning a big wheel. Life is a treadmill of the same old. You feel underappreciated, overlooked, underpaid, or even unnecessary. There were so many versions of what Mr. Holland was going through. Most people who take the time to reflect on their lives struggle with those thoughts. If you occasionally say, "What difference does my life make? Does anybody really know or care?" then God has a word for you to consider in Psalm 139. He wants you to see a different picture of your life. He wants you to see your life from His perspective. Psalm 139 highlights four truths which can help you cancel any personal pity party that you may have planned for yourself. First, God knows you intimately. Look at verses 1 through 6 of Psalm 139. For the chief musician, a psalm of David. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. In those opening six verses, there are seven different words that pile up to tell you that God knows you intimately. What are those words? Searched. Searched me. Known me. Understand my thoughts. Comprehend my path. Acquainted with all my ways. Hedged me behind and before. And laid your hand upon me. It's those opening six verses. God knows your heart. He knows your fears. He knows your thoughts, your motives, your dreams, and your frustrations. He knows your past, your present, and your future. He understands you. He notices what's going on around you, to you, inside you. In fact, God knows you better than you know yourself. He knows you intimately, and He still loves you. When David says that God has laid His hand upon him, he was referring to an Old Testament practice of giving a blessing to someone. A father would place his hands on his children and speak words into their lives about who they are and who they will be, what their place in the family meant, and what their future will be. This was so important and such an important event in the Hebrew family. In the same way, your Heavenly Father, who knows you so intimately, bestows blessing on you, prompted by His love. A blessing that highlights your place in His family and proclaims what your future is all about. And in God's family, there is no such person as a no one. Do you know who David Tyree is? Do you recognize the name David Tyree? Well, if you're a New England Patriots fan, you know that name all too well. Until February 3rd of the year 2008, or 2007-2008, Tom Brady owned the NFL. He was the league's MVP, and his New England Patriots were two touchdown favorites to become only the second team in history to be undefeated. Conversely, few people even knew David Tyree was in the NFL. Until Super Bowl 42, Tyree was little more than a special teams player who only had 5 catches during the entire season. In fact, he had twice as many tackles as catches. But in the Super Bowl, he caught a touchdown pass, and then he caught the pass. With just 1 minute and 15 seconds left in the game, with his team trailing by 4 points, Tyree made one of the most significant catches in NFL history. He leaped high into the air, pulled down Eli Manning's desperate third down pass, pinned it to his helmet, and inconceivably maintained control while New England safety Rodney Harrison tried to mug him. It set up the game-winning touchdown and one of professional sports' biggest upsets. David, before February 3rd, 2008, David Tyree was, by anyone's account, a rather insignificant player in the NFL. Now, he's indelibly remembered for the way he helped make history on the gridiron. The Apostle Paul noted a similar truth in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 when he talked about the church. It contains people who may not seem significant today, but their importance may ultimately surprise everyone, even themselves. So God knows you intimately. Second, God pursues you faithfully. Look at verse 7 down to verse 12. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you. But the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. When David thought about God's thorough knowledge of him, it was just too overwhelming for him. His thoughts turned to getting away from that kind of intimate knowledge. Where can I hide? If he knows all that, then he probably knows that I'm a hypocrite. He's heard my lies. He saw what I did yesterday. But God will not let you run away. He tracks my path, said David. But not to point out what's wrong or exact justice from me. He's determined to give me grace and to be involved in my life. Your hand shall lead me. That's guidance. Your right hand shall hold me. That's security. Do you know what that means? You are wanted by God. Over and over in the Bible, this is affirmed. We're called God's beloved, God's chosen, his dearly loved children. We're told that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. So when you feel the press of loneliness and wonder if you would be missed, if you were gone, remember this. Listen to this story. Marianne Bird writes that when she was growing up, she knew she was different. And I hated it, she said. I was born with a cleft palate. And when I started school, my classmates made it clear to me how I looked to others. A little girl with a misshapen lip, crooked nose, lopsided teeth, and garbled speech. When schoolmates asked, what happened to your lip? I'd tell them that I'd fallen down and cut it on a piece of glass. Somehow it seemed more acceptable to have suffered an accident than to have been born different. I was convinced that no one outside my family could love me. There was, however, a teacher in the second grade whom we all adored, Mrs. Leonard. Actually, we had a hearing test. Annually, we had a hearing test. Mrs. Leonard gave the test to everyone in the class, and finally it was my turn. I knew from the past years that as we stood against the door and covered one ear, the teacher sitting at her desk would whisper something and we would have to repeat it back. Things like, the sky is blue, or do you have new shoes? I waited there for those words that God must have put into her mouth. Those seven words that changed my life. Mrs. Leonard said in her whisper, I wish you were my little girl. Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves you and how he loves me. God loves. He wants you for himself. So he recreated you in Christ. Because you see, all of us, we're sinners. We're all going the same way and we all come the same way. For all have sinned, Paul says, and fall short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. And that's not just physical death. That's an eternal death in hell. But the free gift of God is eternal life by Christ Jesus. God chose to give us eternal life when we deserve hell and punishment. He decided to give us eternal life, and he did it through Jesus. And why would he do that anyway? Well, because he loves us. John 3:16 tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So, God gave Jesus Christ so that we might have eternal life rather than eternal death in hell. And how did he demonstrate that love? Well, the Apostle Paul tells us that God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus Christ went to the cross to die in my place, in your place, that we might be able to be forgiven, because Jesus paid the penalty that we owed, and we could receive God's forgiveness because of what Jesus did. And we just need to, in our belief, we need to confess that faith in Jesus and confess our belief that he raised Jesus from the dead, and we too can be can have victory over death as Jesus did. If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. For with the mouth confession is made, with the heart we believe unto righteousness. And then all we need to do is reach out and ask God to forgive us. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen? And that's all we need to do. We need to reach out and ask God to save us. And he will recreate us into a new person, a spiritual person, a Christian in Christ. And then third, God made you personally. He loves you intimately. He pursues you personally. He pursues you faithfully. And he, third, made you personally. Look at verse 13 down to verse 16. The first part of it. Psalm 139, verse 13. "For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed." Pay attention to those words. It was God who knit you together in your mother's womb. It's a picture of the intricate attention to detail of creating garments. And after God made you, he threw away the mold. You are unique, one of a kind, right down to your fingerprints. As the old saying declares, God don't make no junk. This is an old story, so the specifics may have been surpassed by now. But even old, it's pretty amazing. One of the most powerful computers in the world was the IBM Blue Gene L at Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory in California. It could perform 280 trillion calculations in a second. But that's nothing compared to the computer they put together at the Department of Energy's Los Alamos National Laboratory in New Mexico. Components for that supercomputer began arriving in the fall of 2006. 36 moving vans full of equipment were needed to complete it. By the time it was finished, 2 years later in 2008, the computer filled a room the size of a hockey rink, and it consumed as much power as a small town. The goal for the computer was 1 quadrillion calculations a second. How fast is that? It's roughly 1 billion times faster than your laptop. But listen, the human brain processes information even faster than that computer. 1 quadrillion calculations a second the computer could perform. Scientists estimate that the brain carries out about 10 quadrillion operations a second. 10 times faster than a computer the size of a hockey rink. There is no one in history like you. God gave you a personality, innate abilities, spiritual gifts, and a particular purpose that sets you apart for Him. You are His treasured creation, made in His likeness. He knows you. He wants you. He made you. And fourth, God planned your life. Look at the second part of verse 16 down to verse 18. And in your book, they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. What is David saying? The script for your life was written by God. The Lord carefully mapping the details that will fill your days. Ordaining what will and will not happen. The Hebrew word the Holy Spirit had David use here was fashioned. And it indicates that God created each day of your life. All the circumstances, the boundaries, and the opportunities for His glory and for your good. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11 says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. But God doesn't just set the plan in motion and look the other way. His thoughts are on you constantly. He loves your company. He has specific plans that only you can perform. Listen, if I offered you a $100 bill, you would most likely take it. But what if I balled it up, threw it on the ground? Would you still want it? What if I stepped on it, kicked it, or even spit on it? Could you still go to the store and spend it? Well, sure. The bill, the $100 bill, it has value because of what it is, not because of how it looks, where it's been, or what it's been used for. A crisp $100 bill is worth the same amount as an ugly, older, more used one. Maybe sometimes you feel you've been stepped on, beat up, or kicked around. You may feel dirty, unworthy, or even useless. You know what? You matter to God. Maybe your parents said some things that ring in your ears to this day. Or they didn't say the words you were longing to hear. Maybe your spouse has rejected you in some way. Don't let what another person does define you. Don't draw conclusions about yourself based on them. Look up. You matter to God so much that he sent his son for you. If Jesus is your Savior, you are cherished by him. And you are his forever. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth that you do care about us. You know all the details of our life. You planned them before ever there was even a single day. You planned everything about our lives, all of our life, each day, from the beginning to the end. You're fully aware. Father, thank you that you care about us that much and that you place the value on our life as that of the death, burial, and resurrection of your Son, that we might spend an eternity with you and not be punished for our sin and spend an eternity in hell. Thank you, Lord, and may we be grateful. May we share this truth with others for your glory. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You have a great day.